Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Nick Waskew about the dynamics of the dead. When it comes to something like that, where there's essentially abuse going on the other side from one spirit to another, and you helped the victims move on and move forward, is there ever a way to intervene and really get to the root of the problem, meaning the abuser, that is the spirit that's doing it, or does that spirit need to also be in a mindset of wanting, just as you would in real life, wanting to admit your faults and get help and change? Is there anything that one can do on this side to rid that spirit of that area or of the abuse that they're doing to those other spirits that are there? Or is it simply all you can do is rescue the spirits out of that situation, because there's nothing humanly that we can do to get something like that to move on unless they want to?
As a human with no abilities, you're at their mercy. Mm-hmm. If you're a shaman, the spirits have to listen to you based on the shamanic rules that they have in play. So, and this goes with a lot of the dark cases that we've had, where we've had to remove a negative entity. It's the same type of situation. It's a lot easier trying to get one out versus trying to get something that's built itself up to be really negative and really powerful. Because when you think about removing a negative entity, it's not like a quick thing. This takes, a few hours to do this. And it's exhausting for the shaman or medium that does this. So we try not to bother him too much unless there's a situation where we really feel like, something wrong is going on here. We got to help out in some way. And it's not a habit that we like to do, because the last thing that we want is locations to say East Coast Spirit Chasers came here and they cleared out all these ghosts and now it's not as haunted. And then their business will suffer and we'll get a bad name that way. Mm-hmm. So it's not something that we practice. I think we've done it at a location maybe twice in, several years. And it's got to be a really extreme situation that, we strongly feel like, all right, we've got to do something to help this person. But, other than that, we try not to really intervene unless it's a client case and we tell them everything that's going on. And, we don't want to leave them being afraid in their home. So we can clear things out if we need to.
Nick, tell me about one of the darkest cases that you've ever worked on beyond what you've already talked about here on the show thus far.
Sure. Joe, who's on my team, his brother, they were living in this house, and his sister-in-law, she just felt very strange in the home. And she ended up getting picked up out of bed and then dropped. And there's instances where like knives would just fall and like strategically, like almost cutting her. Mm-hmm. It was just a really bad thing going on in there. And so, we had him, took pictures of the home, because we kind of like to look up the location before we go there to kind of get a little bit of a feel as to what's going on. And, right away, Missy, who remotely connects, found three entities that were in there that were not nice. There was two females, which were the lower tier of what was going on in there, and a very powerful inhuman spirit. And this thing was in their bedroom, and they have this like crawl space door, and they were really in there a lot. So they were really pissed off that Missy found them, to the point that the male went to Missy's house and woke her up choking her. And she took photos of this. And if you want to go on to eastcoastspiritchasers.com, right in our gallery, you'll see handprints on her neck from when this happened, among other types of bodily harm that she's taken over the years doing this with us. So that was a greeting, and you know, that was kind of a rude awakening for her. So we spoke to Fernando. We did a little bit of investigating in there, a lot of negative stuff. And Fernando says that this guy is really bad, and we've got to get him out as soon as possible. And when you're clearing a home of something really negative, you've got to have everybody out of the house, because things can happen. I don't want to say like the movies, but maybe a little more than just, you know, something like moving, like things could get turned over and stuff like that.
Sure.
And so we had to get the whole family out, and he's trying to clear them out. And the one male was so pissed off that he went to Missy's house and was banging on her walls. We had to get Missy and her son out of the house, so that the shaman can kind of pull this spirit back into that house and control it. So as he's trying to do that, this negative spirit also went to Joe's sister-in-law's work, and she's got like glass, like a glass wall, like cubicle. And she said that all of a sudden they just like started shaking. What we did before we cleared the house is put a camera in that main room, because I wanted to hear things, you know, sounds, whatever. I wanted to hear what we'd pick up. The stuff that we picked up was absolutely incredible, because we had the conversation almost where you can hear the shaman speaking and this entity replying. We would hear growls. We would hear like sounds in the room. I mean, it's not like crazy stuff. Like you don't hear like everything shaking around, but you can hear the EVPs of fragments of their conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It took a couple times to get everything cleared out completely. I think I had to do it twice. And then from then on, once it was cleared out, he remotely connected to the house to make sure that he had everything out. And from then on, everything was fine. And there's no issues or anything like that going on in the house.
What does he go through? Like, what exactly does Fernando do to rid a home of spirits remotely?
Well, that's a really good question. And he's that much of a mystery that I don't know. Every shaman that I've worked with, I think one other shaman in person, but it wasn't anything demonic.
Mm-hmm.
Shaman use stuff like crystals and stuff like that, or they'll communicate in their mind to whatever is going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little different when you're talking to something that is really negative, like something demonic.
Mm-hmm.
And Fernando's told me that he'll be like exhausted after these things. And there's times that he's been, you know, scratched, being remote, have you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been knocked down. It's almost like a brawl that their bodies go through.
Mm-hmm.
So we try not to bother him too much unless it's something that we feel that we need to bring him in for.
That's just very interesting to try and understand how that works. Have you ever felt yourself, obviously you have some colleagues and stuff who had some fairly traumatic moments that were kind of shaking them up, I understand, with that sort of an investigation. Have you ever felt threatened or in danger on any of these cases, almost to the point of kind of questioning, you know, should I be involved with this?
I've never questioned being involved with it, and I've been affected quite a few times. I've had an attachment that I got from the Bel Air House in Bel Air, Ohio. At the time, the people on my team were much different. I was broken up with my girlfriend, but she was still on the team with her friend, and there was a lot of drama with that. So when you go on an investigation and you don't have the best intentions that are there, it puts a lot of people at risk. And unfortunately, with eye daggers and evil eyes towards me, I was a victim to that. We were in the section right below the attic to go in, and we're doing an EVP in there. We have the ovulus as well, and we get these angry EVPs where I was being singled out, saying, "Nick, get up here," you know, and it would be even more aggressive. And then on the ovulus, I'll never forget it, it said, "Nicholas, attic now." And from then on, the very next morning, she asked me, he's like, "Did you like knock on my door this morning?" And I'm like, "No," because we were staying in hotels. And she's like, "I could have sworn that I heard knocking and I heard your voice, but that wasn't me." And after that investigation, I kind of took a nosedive as far as my whole spiritual, mental self. It was the first time that I ever had an attachment. And let me tell you, you really feel it as far as different emotions. I'd be going to work and just bawling my eyes out for no reason. Or, you know, I'd be like extra nasty to, you know, clients. And I'm like, this is not me. And so I had to go and I had to get a cleansing. I had two women do Reiki on me to clear off this thing. And as soon as I was cleared, I just felt like $1 million, like such a difference when you have something like that lifted off of you. And, you know, we recently, Terry had something going on recently when we went to Savannah at the Sorrel Weed House. And there was a slave girl named Molly that's one of the most famous spirits there. And for whatever reason, she took to Terry. She wouldn't talk to us at all during that investigation. But I think she took to Terry because Terry's like one of these such a good-hearted type person. She's an EMT. She helps people. She doesn't judge anybody as far as anything. So I think that's maybe why Molly, who's African-American, kind of took to her. So Terry originally thought that this was something negative in the house because she would be drained. She would be hearing all sorts of things. She would keep getting scratched, like in her chest area. And she showed, you know, part of her chest where you see this big scratch. And then the very next day, there's even more scratches there. You can actually see that on our EastCoastSpiritChasers.com as well. And so we had to get a shaman in there to help her out. So she found a local shaman that was able to come in. And right away, the shaman's like, "I'm seeing this, you know, short African-American girl. And she's just very confused." And, you know, apparently when she was very religious being brought up, and when she had passed away, she thought that she would see God, and she didn't. And she was confused. And she was scratching at you because she didn't know if you were real or not. So whereas one would think that this was a negative entity, it was just a spirit that kind of wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she ended up getting crossed over to the next phase of what happens. And I always wonder, you know, the people at the Sorrel Weed House, they're probably thinking like, Molly's here, Molly's doing this, when in reality, she's crossed over. She's not even at that location anymore.
When you have something like that and people think that there's someone at a location that is no longer there, could it be that in some cases there's something mimicking what was there once because people are looking for it? And if that's the persona they have to take on to be recognized, that's what they will do?
Absolutely. There's always spirits that want some sort of attention. Mm-hmm. When you go to a location, you get a mixed bag of things. And it's even with a client case, you know, you'll have the chatty spirit, you'll have the cranky spirit, you'll have the one that just wants to be left alone, you know. So I think there might be a few that'll probably be like, you know, come talk to me, come talk to me. And she apparently had a spirit that was speaking for her, saying, no, talk to me instead. You can't talk to her, when we did the investigation there. So, you know, absolutely. There's spirits that some of them are just dying to talk to people, and spirits that just don't want to be bothered at all.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Nick Waskew about the dynamics of the dead. A big thank you to him for joining us on the show today and sharing his experiences with us. And a thank you to you for supporting our program and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.